I may have mentioned before that I come from a large family. There are 11 of us. Most of my sisters and brothers still live in the Philadelphia area, and now that I'm back on the East Coast, I enjoy seeing them a few times each year. One of my brothers, however, lives in Texas. I only see him every 3 or 4 years, and yet it never fails. Although I eagerly anticipate these visits, after about 24 hours, I'm ready to hightail it out of there. It has nothing to do with my brother or his wife or his kids. They are all pretty delightful. What drives me crazy after just a few hours is their music. In fact, the whole state of Texas seems hooked on country western. They listen to it in their homes, they play it in their cars, they pipe it into their malls. There is no escaping it. Songs like, "Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue," and "Even the Man in the Moon Is Crying." And then there's that old Johnny Cash classic, "Flushed from the Toilet of Your Heart." How much can a normal person take? Don't get me wrong, I'm not entirely anti-country. Every now and then, I especially like to kick back and listen to a little Emmylou Harris. What a sweet voice she has. In fact, when I first read this gospel the other night, I was reminded of one of Emmylou's songs entitled "To Daddy." In that ballad, a young girl tells the story of her long-suffering mother. "Mama never seemed to miss the finer things in life. If she did, she never did say so to Daddy. She never wanted to be more than mother or a wife. If she did, she never did say so to Daddy." As the sad tale continues, we learn that Daddy often left her all alone, but she didn't seem to mind it. And she never missed the flowers and the cards he never sent her. If she did, anyone who listens to enough of these tunes soon realizes that all is not well with this family. Sure enough, one morning they wake up and find a note saying that Mama has finally gotten fed up and has walked out on Daddy. In her note, Mama wrote, "The kids are older now and they don't need me very much. Now I'm going to search for love I need so badly." Then, in a more accusatory tone, she adds, "I needed you so long, but I just can't keep holding on." She never meant to come back home. If she did, she never did say so to Daddy. As much as I love hearing Emmylou sing that song, I've always found it a little disturbing. I mean, whose fault is it that Mama trudges through life without ever asserting herself or demanding what she needs? Isn't she the only one to blame? I'm not so sure. As a young Jesuit, I taught high school in South America for a couple of years. During my very first year there, one of the boys in my 10th grade homeroom attempted suicide. I had 44 students in that homeroom, and I didn't get to know each of them as well as I might have. It didn't help that Miguel was one of those kids who sort of fades into the woodwork. He was an average student, a so-so soccer player, and he seemed to mix well enough with the other boys. In short, there wasn't anything that made him stand out. It wasn't until after his suicide attempt that I began to learn more about him. Miguel's father had been in prison for 3 years. His mother struggled to keep the family together by taking in laundry. But the 80s were tough years in Chile. The country was in a grinding recession, and Miguel's mother wasn't always able to make ends meet. The more I discovered about Miguel's life, the guiltier I felt. I'd been his homeroom teacher for the better part of a year, but I knew practically nothing about him. I remember sitting in my room one night thinking, if only he had confided in me, I might have been able to do something. But the sad fact is, there are people like Miguel who just are not able to spill their guts. There are people like Mama in Emmylou's ballad who don't know how to express their hurt at being taken for granted. It isn't that these people want to keep it bottled up. Often, as I learned the hard way, they are desperate for someone to talk to. They are just more timid than the rest of us. And sometimes you and I are too preoccupied with our own problems to notice anything amiss. That's what tonight's gospel is driving at. The parable of the sheep and goats is not a warning about performing charitable works. This parable has nothing to do with buying gifts for our Christmas giving tree or helping at the parish's upcoming homeless shelter. While both of those things are admirable, this parable demands more of us than that. The key to understanding this parable is not the actions that Jesus describes, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick. Both groups in the story, the goats as well as the sheep, admit that these works of mercy are important. Furthermore, both groups, the goats as well as the sheep, probably perform them. In fact, that's why the goats become so defensive when Jesus criticizes them. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. When, they cry out, when did we ever see you in need and not help you? The key to this parable is not the charitable actions, but rather the people to whom the actions are directed. Jesus says to the goats, whenever you neglected to do it for the least of my brothers and sisters, you neglected to do it for me. That word least is key. Who are the least of Jesus's brothers and sisters? I believe they are the Miguels of the world, the people who fade into the woodwork. They are the mamas of Emmylou's song, the people who go their way unnoticed and underappreciated. They are the people who are too insecure to complain, too embarrassed to admit I need help, too afraid to confess I'm lonely. The goats in today's parable are not bad people. They seem only too willing to help if some problem is brought to their attention. Give me a call, shoot me an email, send me a text. When Jesus points out their indifference, you can almost hear them say the same thing I said to myself in my room that night. If only you had told me, I might have been able to help. What Jesus tells us in this parable is that there are people out there who are not able to express their hurts or their needs. And he adds, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to become more aware of them. No one is born with that kind of sensitivity. It's a skill that needs to be developed. And if we want to be Christ followers, it's a skill that cannot be overlooked. So how do we go about developing it? Well, I'd say the first step is to acknowledge that there probably are people like that in our life already. Maybe someone in our family, or someone we work with or go to school with. Secondly, we need to ask whether we ever offer any signals that we are willing to listen or to offer a helping hand. Perhaps the most important, we might ask Jesus to give us the grace to become more sensitive to these least of his sisters and brothers. Because if we don't, if we continue being blind to them and deaf to their silent pleas, how will we feel come Judgment Day when Jesus looks back over our life with so many missed opportunities and sadly cried, "Don't it make my brown eyes blue?"